If you don't sit in your lucky seat, your team could lose. So don't leave your lucky seat. But do pick up your phone or computer and order B-dubs to go. Or if you've got a big group, call in for the party menu. That way you can order wings, pick them up, and get back to your lucky seat. And if you do lose while sitting in your lucky seat, you can still feel lucky eating your feelings. Spicy feelings. Keep your superstitions. We do it for you. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Prices and participation vary. See participating locations for details. Void where prohibited.
You're listening to Thunderheads, a podcast for Thunder fans by Thunder fans.
Welcome to Thunderheads. I am Brandon Soule, joined, as always, by Rob Larson.
What's up?
And the dark and stormy Jason Lewis.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to start things off, you know, a little differently today. Reba McEntire, we know her. Love her.
The Reba McEntire?
The Reba McEntire. She's from Oklahoma, right?
Indeed, she is.
So she's, there's rumor has it, she's getting rumor a new show on ABC. The Hollywood Reporter reports that she will star in a new series that is created by the creator of Desperate Housewives.
Oh, yes.
There's a script and everything. It's going to be apparently, quote, Southern Southern Gothic soap opera.
Loved it.
Whatever that is.
Sounds amazing.
Which takes me back to the show Reba.
Oh, yeah.
One of the most incredible TV series to ever grace.
Just an all-timer, really. No, but really, show of hands, who liked Reba?
I loved it. Everyone here likes Reba. I didn't like it. I loved it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to put a poll on Twitter if people actually liked Reba or not. But
Brandon, you and I watched quite a bit of Reba together.
Was it actually good, or was it just like one of those time passer shows?
No, I really liked it. It was that good.
That one fellow's funny. Van is his name.
Van was good, and Van is in that show Shameless now.
Also, Barbara Jean was pretty funny.
Do you like Barbara Jean? See, that's where I might disagree with you a little bit. She had her moments. She had her moments, but she was like, I mean, it was kind of her character in the show. How many people have tuned out already? Like, what is this, a Reba? Is this a Reba podcast? But I mean, I don't know.
Not a bad idea.
She was crucial to the show. I will give you that.
Yeah.
Was Cheyenne actually attractive, or was it just that she was the most attractive person in the show?
Actually attractive.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
She's done some movies and stuff, Robic. Like, oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever seen her in anything.
Oh, yeah,
else.
She has. She's done.
I feel like I have.
Yeah, she's done a couple of things.
But you can't point them out?
Yeah.
No, I definitely couldn't point him out, but I know that I've seen
him. He just shows
movies.
Up every once in a while. I'm like, oh, yeah. Hey.
Well, this is good discussion to distract us from the poor basketball effort the Thundermen are giving forth lately. So maybe let's get caught up with Rob's rundown.
All right, so we got three games that we're going to talk about here. The first one was the Thunder at Utah. Zero lead changes in this game. The Thunder struggled offensively in the first half, shooting 13 for 40. While not defending the three-point line very well, the Jazz shot 9 for 15. Thunder trailed by 14 at the half. They fought back a little bit in that third quarter. They got the lead to like 6, but they didn't look good for most of the game. And as I said, zero lead changes. Thunder never led in this game. Thunder lose 109-89.
No! God, please, no!
That was an awful game. Awful, awful game. On the second night of a back-to-back, getting destroyed by the Blazers the night before.
The starters didn't even play in the fourth quarter of that Blazers game, and then you come in and just, you know, or you go to Utah and just get killed.
I think it's... I mean, we're going to get into it a little bit, but it's just one of those things, these good teams, these good defensive teams... It's the Thunder are not scoring against.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a problem. If they have a good game plan coming in, they're gonna play the Thunder well. If Russ can't get help, the game's over.
Yeah,
right. That's
basically.
It.
Right. Yeah. And he finished with 27, 5, and 6. 5 assists, 6 rebounds,
7 for 25 from the field. And that one, Russ was. I mean, and when you watch the Jazz, they don't do anything special. They're like. They grind it out. I don't really like them. I don't like the Jazz.
But didn't you feel like the whole time that they were the better team? Like
the Jazz?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I know they were destroying us, but I mean just like their players and stuff. I was like, oh, they have
You're right.
They're a better team than us right now, and it's weird.
They're talented top to bottom, as far as the rotation goes.
Yeah, they're deep.
Which is what everyone said coming in. You know, they don't really have any stars, so to speak. I mean, unless you consider Gordon Hayward a star, Rudy Gobert. I mean, Gobert dominated the game. He was dominating the interior, which when you have only one guy that can drive and score, it's going to happen. So,
yep, not good. The next game was Phoenix at OKC. This was actually a lot of fun to watch. This was, I mean, mostly because of Russ, but I mean, this was almost the exact opposite of the Jazz game, the previous game. One lead change, and that was the Thunder. The Thunder never really trailed. After about a minute into that game, they pretty much held on, they held on to the lead the entire time. Devin Booker was pretty much the only Suns player that played all that well. Probably chalk that up to Oladipo being out. Otherwise, I think that might be a little different. Russ with his 50th career triple-double, 26 points, 22 assists, career high, and 11 rebounds. Thunder win 114-101.
Wow.
Like you said, a fun game. The Suns are one of those teams that the Thunder just, they have their number, kind of. Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, they just don't match up well. The first time we played them.
Yep, that's true.
Kind of scary, but that had me worried about this game a little, and then
it's just like, I just don't feel like they match up well with the Thunder. Sometimes if Westbrook didn't want to play defense, Bledsoe could go off, but they did a really good job on Bledsoe. He was 4 for 13, 12 points. Dared him to shoot the entire time, which is what you have to do. Like you said, though, Booker kind of got off, but it was only in one quarter, pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, the first half, I think he was 4 for 6. So, yeah, I mean, that second half, I don't remember what he shot in that game, but I know that he led the Suns by a bunch.
He shot 11 for 22 in the game.
He had 31.
But pretty much everyone on the Thunder's team was a plus in the game. I mean, 26, 22, 11 for Russell Westbrook. A historic game, only the fifth guy to ever do a 20-20-10 since 1983, since they, you know, kept up with stats like that, I guess. Best game of his career or no?
Oh, that's a good question.
That's tough.
I'll say no, just because, I mean, obviously it was fun to watch him get everybody else involved. And the fact that he got, I mean, 22 assists is just incredible.
It's crazy.
It's absurd.
But
from him.
And that, especially that last assist to Adams was, the Sham God.
I'm telling you that.
Yeah, they called it the Sham God. Had you ever heard that before?
You know what Sham God means?
Yeah, it's just like it's like Kyrie does it all the time. It's the dribble move.
Oh, okay.
It's the dribble move?
Yeah. It's the thing where you like.
Well, I know it's.
It's like where you go.
Well, no, the dribble move he did. Like, that's. I was just clarifying that.
But what is it?
So you like throw the ball forward with one hand. So, like, he took it. You saw Russ. He took his left hand, he threw the ball forward out in front of him, basically to bait the defender.
Uh-huh.
And then you pull it back with the opposite hand.
Oh, okay.
So it's almost like a weird variation of a crossover.
Yeah.
Kyrie does it. Kyrie does it all the time.
Well, it was.
But when Russ does it, it's like extra sick.
Yeah.
I've noticed that, I mean, his handles have been incredible
lately
this year.
They have.
Getting through double teams and.
Because normally he's not much of a. He's not really a dribble moves guy usually because he's like, I'll just beat you.
He's
like,
fast. He's faster than everyone.
I can dribble and I'm fast and I can jump high. So that's all. that's all I really need. But extra bonus. I mean, I think it was it in the Atlanta game that you're about to get to? He had a sweet little behind the back.
Yeah,
just like split defenders, and it was a total reaction thing.
So speaking of Atlanta at OKC, so the change in play from the first quarter to the second quarter was. And kind of insane. First quarter, the Thunder shot 6 for 22. They scored only 16 points. And then in the second quarter, 14 for 23. Russ was 8 for 11. And they scored 37 points in that second quarter. I mean, it's just crazy how they go from just looking so bad in that first quarter to looking...
And all of a sudden they're like...
So good. And part, I mean, if you have Russ shooting 8 for 11, that's going to be a good quarter. But, I mean, 37 points in that second quarter is just it's just insane.
Mm-hmm.
So getting down to the fourth quarter, this game was back and forth. We'll get into the last two-minute report here in a bit. Thunder had a couple of shots late to tie or even take the lead in the game. They couldn't do it. Thunder fall 108 to 110. And I think a lot was made about that Adams, you know, the ball basically just falling right to Adams with under a second.
In his like slow motion dunk.
Yeah. Well, and how much time was on the clock when that play, when the inbounds happened? Like 2.7, something like that?
I was gonna say, yeah. And he got it with like 1 point.
So I thought eight it was just under. No, I thought.
Was it under?
Yeah, it was under. Because he shot like a three. Mm-hmm. And then it,
oh, okay,
they bounced around and it hit.
It seemed like it lasted 6 seconds until Adams got the ball. Yeah, the Thunder squandered. I think that a 6-point lead with 4 minutes left, something like that. I mean, the big thing to me that sticks out to me is how they let Schroeder just get off.
Yeah, he was doing whatever he wanted to.
And I think that they tried to stick Robertson on him at times. I think that's one player that Robertson struggled with a little bit because he's so quick.
Fast little son,
he's so quick. He's a little booger.
Yeah,
a little booger.
Yeah, he's just gonna get away from me. And Rustin, as great as Russ was scoring the ball, he didn't have much interest in playing defense.
Yeah,
from the beginning, he didn't.
No, and you know that's one thing we've noticed. I swear, every time when we watch a game. And we talk early in the game, we say Russ doesn't look interested on defense. They lose the game.
Yep.
It's like they get off to a bad start defensively, and it like sets a bad tone or something.
Mm-hmm.
And Russ had 46 points, and he went off after the first quarter because he actually struggled in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Well, but did you guys like the way he played that game?
What do you mean?
One thing I was noticing, it's not entirely his fault. The Hawks were playing. They had a great game plan, I thought. I mean, they were clogging the lane. Daring shooters to shoot. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't call them shooters. Daring Thunder players to shoot. Essentially playing a zone, sagging off of everyone. And Russ, but they weren't even like necessarily doubling Russ. They were pretty much welcoming him to score. And so Russ said, okay, I'm going to score. And he did go and score, which is fine. But he just seemed to dribble. He dribbled the ball so much.
Specifically in the fourth quarter, it was some of those shots where you could just tell he was going to come down. And he was draining them right in front of Cephalosha's face. That little mid-range, he comes down the court. But some of those times it was like, man, I wish they would work something. Even a pick and roll with Adams or just try something different to make them realize that you have to guard something else. You have to be prepared because they were so one-dimensional, and I think that's what did them in. Because they've actually been, the Thunder have been pretty good in the fourth quarter, you know, so far this year. And they just, I don't know, it felt like one of those games where Russ had it going, and that was either going to, he was either going to be the hero or he was going to be the GOAT.
Yeah. So, I feel like he had to do that this game because no one was helping him. Like, Sabonis was 0-for-3.
So
Robertson was 3-for-9.
Yeah, like, well, in the fourth, three, yeah. I think
from
I have
three,
the,
yeah. the 5 fourth, for 14 overall.
I got the fourth quarter stats up here. Robertson was 3-for-5. Grant was 3-for-4. Cantor 1-for-1. Singler 1-for-1. So I mean, I don't know that I agree. I mean,
that's
most
in the
of
fourth
the game,
quarter, yeah, like they started helping finally, but
that's where I was talking about. Yeah. I mean, that's where it seemed like it was so one dimensional. It was going to be Russ was going to score, or we were going to lose the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I felt like if they could have sort of ran something else. That's all I was looking for.
No, yeah, I totally think they need to figure out something. You were kind of saying, Brandon, I think the other day when we were watching it, that it would be nice if they would try something else other than a pick and roll every once in a while. Like they run like horns every once in a while and do a couple things, but
I think that just the pick and roll in that game wasn't effective because of the way Atlanta was playing defense, which normally with Russ and with Adams and with Cantor, pick and roll all day, right? That's what you want. But when you don't have shooters to space the floor and they're not honoring them at all, you know, like Robertson hit three threes, three big threes, really. He was 3-for-9, which you'll take 33% from Robertson. But all nine of those were wide open, right? So you're 33% on wide open threes.
And Morrow was 0-for-3. Sabonis was 0-for-2 from three.
And what was Abrines? 1-for-5.
Grant hit three also, and he was the only, he was 100%.
He was really the main, if not only, bright spot in the game.
Yeah.
Robertson had 14 points, but he took 14 shots. I mean, you don't want Robertson taking 14 shots. No. That's not a good recipe.
Not at all.
You know, and Sabonis, 0-for-3, only taking three. He plays 13 minutes. He starts the game. He's not in foul trouble or anything. He's playing 13. Like, this was going to be we're playing legitimate or preposterous later. And this was going to be one of the questions, but I'm just going to ask it now since we're in it. Should he start? Is this is it pointless to start him if this is what you're going to do with him? Because I really like him. I feel like when he's on the floor, he needs more shots because he can shoot.
Yeah.
He's in the top 10 in the NBA in three-point percentage before the Hawks game. So I just think if he can help spread the floor for you, you have to get him shots because they're not honoring anyone, and it's not going to be effective sitting there dumping it to Robertson in the corner and letting him shoot 33% from three.
Yeah.
It's not
super helpful.
So you got nothing on the starting lineup idea? I mean,
I thought Jason, are you?
Yeah, I mean, I like him being in the starting lineup, and I wish they would utilize him more, like you're saying. Like, if he's going to be out there, like, use him and get him shots. But
well, it's also partly you want to. Obviously, they're trying to set up lineups for the entire game.
Yeah,
and so I think it helps by having Sabonis in that starting lineup. Because you have Kanter that is working with that second unit. And I know we're going to talk about Kanter here in a little bit and how effective he is or isn't being. But I don't know. I mean, I think it's the same thing where we saw Grant started with Oladipo out.
Right.
We saw Grant come in, but then they decided, well, we need to have Morrow in. I think that's more so. I don't know that it's that big of a deal. Because the 13 minutes, I feel like they're good minutes, I feel like, for the most part.
He was not good against the Hawks.
Also, they were going small against us, too. And I think that...
Well, that's because Dwight Howard was out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think it was effective.
And really, sure. When teams have been going small against Thunder, it's been effective for the most part lately.
I would think that's something that he could play in that. If they go small and you're using Kanter and you still have Sabonis at the four, like you would expect... That's something Sabonis should be pretty good at.
And one thing is when teams are going small, Adams and guarding a guy like Millsap or guarding guys that stretch out and can shoot the three, Adams is struggling so bad with guys.
And when Adams was switched on Schroeder, that's when he was getting a lot of easy shots too somehow. Like
just right around him.
Just go quicker than
And normally, if you can test Schroeder at the rim, he misses a lot of layups.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you can test. But it just seems like, it seems kind of weird the way things are going rotationally with Donovan lately. I mean, he plays 12 guys against the Hawks. Nick Collison came in, and it seemed like he was going to be a part of the game. He played a minute.
Yeah.
LaVern came in, played 4 minutes. So it almost looks like he's searching for answers. He's just like, I need something. I don't know what to think. I don't know if he's incompetent right now or if he's just, if the roster's incompetent.
Yeah. That's...
But it's got to be so hard right now.
Yeah.
I mean, Oladipo's out, who I think...
Well, that's what we should get into, right?
I think that was the second best. He's playing the second best out of anybody besides Russ, right? And so I think that with not having campaign, I think both of those, I mean, just so hard to figure out what they need to do.
So would you say that Oladipo being out has made more of an impact than even you thought it would?
I think it's good for this team.
I meant like... Has it negatively affected this team even more than you thought it was going to? I mean, we didn't anticipate he was going to be out as long as he actually is.
Yeah, I only thought it was going to be a couple games.
But if you were to think about it beforehand,
really worried.
Yeah.
Because, it's 17 points a game, and that's especially when you have the team that we have that's not.
And he can shoot.
And he can make his own shot.
Yeah.
Like, he's only one of the, three, four people on a team that can do that, maybe. And when you lose that, like, that's a lot to lose.
And the Thunder are down to 28th in the league in three-point percentage, which, they were hovering around in the middle of the pack for a while. We kind of expected them to...
Yeah.
I mean, and they've just nosedived.
Yeah.
It's bad. And when Morrow's shooting under 30% from three, what do you do, man?
Well, yeah, and Abrinas, too. He didn't have a good game in the
Hawks. Abrinas has got to be in, like, the 20s from three.
But he looked... So, he didn't shoot the ball well. But I thought he played pretty well. He looked active on defense. He looks like somebody that, he needs to be utilized more rather than just saying, go stand at the three-point line and just shoot the ball whenever it's your turn, Like, they need to get him active more.
Running off of screens, he's your opportunity to get movement off the ball on offense. I mean, I totally agree. I do think that, I think that he's still a little nervous when he's in there. Things are a little nervous. The team doesn't seem to really trust him all the way yet, and he feels pressure to shoot. That's not good. Like, shoot it when your shot's there. Don't shoot it because you feel like you should shoot it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you feel like there's a reason that our team doesn't seem to run a lot of off-ball screens? Like,
because there's no shooters.
Well, yeah, but
they had the one early in the
Brainus and stuff like that. Like, if you get him to move around pin downs and stuff like that, and
no, yeah,
like, why aren't we doing early some of that
early in the game against the Hawks in the first quarter? They ran Morrow around, little mid range pop, like the old KD play, yeah, and he drained it. And I mean, he had two guys in his face, but Morrow's automatic from that range,
right?
I don't know.
I would just like to see more of that, is all. Like,
we miss Oladipo. That's yeah, that's one thing sure. We know.
Was he? He's averaging. Wasn't he averaging the most minutes on the team?
Yeah,
for most a while. And now since he's been out, Robertson is. Robertson's been playing
40 minutes last night.
Over the past six games, Robertson's averaging 35 minutes a game, and Russ is averaging 33.
But another thing we didn't talk about with Oladipo being gone is, yeah, he gets you 17 points a game, but he's also a really good defender.
Yeah,
and we clearly have been missing that.
I mean, that's exactly why Robertson's playing 40 minutes, yeah. I guess. But last night, I think you can actually make the case. I'm not sure I would, but you could make the case that he had no business playing 40 minutes against the Hawks. Because who exactly is he really guarding? Who's he shutting down? Because he's not
Bazemore.
He's not really a guy that's like, I don't know. Like, what's his place on the court against the Hawks? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Normally, his primary objective as a basketball player is to shut down this score. Well, there was no, I mean, Schroeder, but he didn't really get many opportunities. And even if he did, and when he did, he wasn't really successful. So,
right.
Does that bother you that he played 40 minutes? I mean, I don't know who you're going to play, but
yeah, I don't know who else.
It didn't whenever I was watching it. I didn't have a problem. And probably it probably helps that he hit 3 3-pointers in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Were all three of those in the fourth?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Wow.
I can look it up.
They were all in pretty quick in succession. I remember.
Yeah, I think they were. Oh no, two of them. So two of them were in the fourth quarter, and then one, he had one because he only shot 3 for 9. So yeah, he was 2 for 3 from three in the fourth quarter. But so to answer that question, I didn't feel like he was playing too. There were times in that game where I would look at our offense. And Robertson was just completely on the other side of the court.
Oh, yeah. And
while the ball is, you know, on the other side. And that's how they're playing him. And so maybe to that point, Donovan should see that and try something different. Because it was 4 on 5 the entire time.
He's not getting a lot of backdoor, weak side alley-oops lately, you know. And there's been times when I've been watching the game, and it looks like the cut's there, and he's not really making the cut.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's on him.
The way the Hawks played it, though, last night, it wasn't there. Yeah.
And when he's getting layups, because he had some nice little drives to the basket and everything, he's blowing layups right next to them. Like, he's holding it into the rim.
And then on top of it, the dude can't make a free throw to save his life.
He did make two last night,
right?
Yeah,
he made two in a row, yeah.
Whew.
He was 1 for 2 from the line last
night. So fired.
No, he made...
I thought he made two.
Yeah, he made two in a row.
No, apparently he didn't.
No, he missed one, and then he made one.
And I guess I just imagined it going in.
Yeah. I mean,
I was like, yes!
Yeah. It's a win when he makes one, right?
Yeah.
But also 40 minutes and 2 free throws.
Right.
Like, just to think about that. I mean, I know he's not involved on offense, but still, I mean, it's frustrating, I guess.
Yeah, and it's hard to really put the blame on him. I mean, the team's at a loss for offensive players. They really are. It's kind of where they are. So, everyone knows.
Let's just go out and get some in the trade market, you know?
Yeah.
That's how you
We got to make a trade.
Just go out and get some.
I do love how,
there's just shooters all around that you can just go grab, right?
The Thunder lose 2-3 games in a row, and everyone's like, who do we need to trade for? Thunder win 5-6 in a row. Everyone's like, do we have a chance to win the championship?
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know. But everyone knows Russ, triple-double machine. I think the team is 11-2 this season when he triple doubles. Is that the most important thing to this team? Does he need to get a triple double for this team to win games?
It doesn't have to,
but
it helps.
Yeah, obviously, if you're filling up the stat sheet, I mean, obviously, it's going to help.
Because I think it's less about him getting a triple double is less about him having an excellent game. And more about his teammates having it.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's probably true.
You know what I mean?
Because, I mean, he's setting them up regardless. But it's whether they're catching it and whether they're finishing their shots.
Yeah, and I was listening to a little local radio today and people talking about how Russ started the game against the Hawks like he always does, trying to distribute and stuff. And yeah, he was trying to distribute, but the other players weren't getting a ton of good looks. Yeah. They weren't getting a lot of open shots. I mean, it wasn't like he was making great passes and they were missing wide open shots. The Hawks just had a great game plan. They were daring Westbrook to score 50 and right. say, and do it yourself. Yeah, he could have. I mean, but I still don't know if you win the game if he does. You
well,
know,
but that yeah. Hawks game, they probably should have won that game. Like you said, oh, up sure. six, you know.
It's a weird game.
Well,
it
yeah,
a
it
weird
was. Game. But also, like we talked about, Robertson missed a free throw that, I mean, a layup, right. like feet away from,
had
you know, it would nobody around. There was nobody around him. He had a wide open layup, and he missed it. And that was so crucial because it would have really put the Hawks in a bad spot. And it would have, I think they probably would have been able to not only set up their defense, because the Hawks took it right down the court after that missed layup. And you're probably, if he makes it, you're setting up your defense. They're probably having to foul right. from that point on. And so it changed the game so much.
And then we haven't even brought up the fact that the, you know, everyone was clamoring for foul calls against Russ at the end of the game, which
he clearly got smashed.
Officiating was awful the entire night on both sides. So,
oh yeah, for both teams.
But in the end, two missed calls against Russ. The last 2-minute report comes out. The first one where he kind of bulleted up the court. Missed calls. Should have been a foul on Cephalosha, says the NBA. Russ kind of just threw it at the rim.
And he was kind of like backwards.
Mm-hmm. Which I have less of sideways, I have less of a problem with that yeah. one because Russ was like was full clearly... speed and kind of just like, I don't know. Like if I was an official, I probably wouldn't have called that because it was a little like, he's it wasn't supernatural.
I don't know. It looked really bad, to me, especially because it turned. He didn't turn his body. Like the contact right. helped, like turn his body, which mm. made the shot, like throwing it up there, look even more awkward.
There was definitely contact. I mean, I think it's a foul any other time in the game, but I get it in the like the end of the games how sometimes you know you tend to let things go. Officials do, but that three, Bazemore is totally under him. Doesn't let him yeah. come down. That's just yeah. like a textbook foul. You can't do that.
But the weirdest part is this Russell Westbrook. Like yeah, how does right. he not? Yeah. How does he not get the benefit of the doubt?
Do you think
of that?
Do you think that officials dislike him a little bit? I mean,
he bitches so much.
He does yeah. bitch. I mean,
I'm back on this again. But this is the thing that grinds my gears every year. Yeah. Stop bitching about calls.
Yeah,
so much.
But to that point, every star bitches about calls.
Oh yeah, no,
they do. But I think there are certain stars that are more abrasive in the way they bitch.
And
like
he's very much.
That. Yeah, you know, like he probably rubs the officials the wrong way because. He'll grab his face. He does what he does, and he's just so flamboyant in his actions that
he like stares them down and does the whole
right.
Like he just like make barks the at them, and he'll bark at them for a while. Mm-hmm. Like he doesn't stop whenever they're like. Hey.
He doesn't really try to seek their respect as much yeah. as he does just try to like torment them to force them into calling yeah. fouls for him.
But with that being said, the Thunder didn't lose the game because of those two. I mean, I guess yeah. if you want to say. You know, a three-pointer with 2 seconds left. If he goes and makes, you know, three free throws, they have the chance to win. But they put themselves in that situation because I mean, they weren't good down the stretch in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. They were up, and then they played horrible defense and right. horrible offense. That's what happens.
Okay. Well, we went way over time. We had some more to talk about, but we're going to include it in the next segment. It's time for Legitimate or Preposterous.
Legitimate or preposterous.
Mm. God, it just gets me every time.
That's very good.
Okay, legitimate or preposterous. You know the rules. We're going to read a statement. You tell me if that statement is legitimate or if that statement is preposterous. We got a few of these, so let's get through them. Rob, first one's for you.
Okay.
Actually, first one's for Jason.
Boom! All right.
Switched like it that? Up. Oh, wait.
Preposterous.
No. Like that?
Preposterous.
Like that?
Preposterous. I went preposterous.
All right, Jason.
Huh?
Billy Donovan is frustrated with Sam Presti right now. Legitimate or preposterous?
Can almost go legitimate there.
There's no... That's the point of the game. There's no almost. It's...
You may be able to go
extreme.
Legitimate or preposterous on this. It's kind of 50-50.
That's also
it's
the
50-50.
Point of the game.
It's 50-50.
He's basically no. saying sure, I
sure,
guess.
Yeah, maybe. No,
next.
He's probably not, like, outwardly... like that, but I think a little bit, like you said, he's kind of searching his lineups. So I'm going to go legitimate. He's searching his lineups, trying to find somebody that can do something offensively, and there's no one that can do those things with the guys being out. I don't, so maybe he doesn't totally hold it against Sam, but
I mean,
those two guys being hurt, and then you're just like, what the fuck do I do now?
But I guess it's you can't control Kevin Durant leaving. That's not Sam Presti's
yeah.
fault. But
right. And this team was built, like we talked about before, it's built around these mm-hmm. two superstars, and then one of them bounces, and you're like, whoa.
But I think you can get frustrated at the fact that a player like Oladipo has such an impact. Because even when the Magic lost Oladipo, they don't fall. They didn't fall like the Thunder are struggling. I mean,
they didn't also have as far to fall because they're already
down. Yeah, true. But it's just
they don't look
this team. Decimated. The Thunder has always been a team that relies on a few players to get by.
Yeah, it would be nice if we had just a nice pool of depth there. But
I guess we're seeing. I mean, he's obviously got a plan. He's not putting this roster on the court and saying this is it.
Yep,
this is how we're gonna get that chip.
Master plan complete.
All right, Rob. Legitimate or preposterous? If the Thunder make no roster changes this season, merely making the playoffs will be considered a successful season.
Preposterous. Oh, because
winner.
I mean, I think if you're saying finally everybody gets healthy, I'm assuming obviously the way that with injuries, I think they probably get a pass. But right now, I mean, I don't know how you could with everybody healthy. This team played pretty good during the first part of the season. Obviously, competition probably helps that. But even without Cameron Payne. I mean, they look pretty good, and I feel like they look like a contender to get out of the first round. And so, yeah, I think you got to step up and get better and hopefully get out of the first round with everybody healthy.
Because it doesn't look like the Thunder are going to – I mean, it's still early, but, you know
– You got a tough stretch.
You have the Warriors. You have the Spurs. Clippers lost Blake Griffin, but last year they played well without Blake Griffin when he went down. And then you have the Rockets who are playing better than anyone really expected them. So it looks like the Thunder are going to be a 5 seed at best. You have to consider the Jazz who are playing really good ball. So among those top teams, what's the best matchup for the Thunder? Rockets?
Among the ones you just said, yeah, for sure.
I feel like Rockets.
And you know what's crazy about that too? Is the reason I feel like that's the best matchup is because Andre Robertson.
Yeah.
You know? And that, like, so it's like, you look at it that way, and you're like, I love having that guy on the team.
I mean, I feel like we still match up well with the Spurs.
That's fair, but no answer for Kawhi, probably. No Deion Waiters. He was the answer. Do you guys kind of miss Deion? I kind of miss Deion.
I missed the roller coaster that was Deion, yeah.
Playoff Deion was fun.
Oh, he was
a blast. It was so it was fun. Okay, number 3, Jason. You know what? I don't like this one. Number 4, Jason.
Huh?
Samaje Christian will still be a rotation player when campaign returns from injury.
Go with a solid no.
That's not the game.
Oh, preposterous.
Jesus Christ.
I don't remember how any of this shit works. No, I don't think he will be. He's kind of all right lately. He's been doing better.
How many minutes did he play against the Hawks?
Quite a bit, 20-something.
Did he? 25 minutes.
1 for 5. 0-for-2 from 3 and at 2 points, which makes sense.
Yeah, his shot's ugly. Is
all 3 assists and no turnovers, so there's that.
Donovan really, I mean, he's been playing better.
What was it that Suns game we went to? Rob, we were both like, he probably had like 4 points, but that was one of the best games I've ever seen where
he played a good game.
4 points.
Yeah, it was so good.
He's really played a handful of good games here recently.
And he's been hitting them half courts.
Once. Impressive. He's been doing that.
Once and a half.
Yeah. What would you say, Rob? Do you think he has a chance to stay in the rotation?
No, preposterous. And I don't think you really want him to.
No.
No, I don't. Yeah.
I think there could be times where, you know, he could come in and give you a stretch on defense or something like that and maybe get you by. But he would be so out of rhythm. Yeah. That I don't even know that you would want to even risk it.
Because this
point.
Is him in rhythm, right? This
right,
is what
yeah.
We're seeing
and these
now.
Last three, so these last three games that we were talking about, I mean, he's 23 minutes. He's averaging 5 points in those three games.
That's hot.
He's got 3.7 rebounds, 2 assists. I think that's fine.
That's over the last how many games?
3, the ones that we're talking about.
And over the last 6, he's averaging 22 minutes. So it's stretching back. I mean,
yeah.
How many Oladipo's been out 4 games? So, yeah, I mean, the thing that makes me worry that he stays in is if Cam Payne comes back and really struggles, but you got to give Payne
time.
That time. Yeah. So,
yeah.
All right, who's up? Rob? Rob's up, right?
Yep.
Okay. Russell Westbrook has a realistic chance to win the Most Improved Player Award.
Whoa.
I'm going to say preposterous. Do you really think he does?
I agree with
that. I don't know. Probably not. But I think that it's interesting in that we should bring it to light and put it in people's
yeah,
put it minds.
I think he's been this good for a bit.
So check this
out. I think everybody else is kind of seeing how good he really is.
He's scoring 7.4 more points per game this year. He's rebounding almost 3 more rebounds a game. He's got half an assist more per game this year. All of his stats are up. I mean, and then, you know, field goal percentage is down. His three-point percentage is up. Turnovers up a little bit. Steals are down. Defensive numbers are down. But and those key stats, those those three big stats are up quite a bit. Like
all
those
because of usage rate, though, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
No Kevin Durant, but...
But also, people
but
get that
isn't
the, reward for usage rate because, like, CJ McCollum and
exactly.
stuff, like, he was used a little bit and then he came in.
But it's kind of different because they didn't... I mean, there's not, like, some...
Yeah.
Well, there wasn't some huge thing. You know, he just got better. And so his usage rate went up. Yeah. Russ was always good. They just needed something more of him.
Right.
So I don't know that he really got sure. better. I just think he's doing more of what he was really good
yeah,
at
that's,
before.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was saying. Is like, I think he's been this good for a while.
Yeah.
And it's not like he improved necessarily. I mean, he has always, because he does.
Greek Freak's probably going to win it no matter what.
Yeah.
Anyways.
He probably should.
I just thought because last year Curry was a candidate. You know, everyone talking about Curry. And I don't see why this is different than that. Because Curry won the
that's retarded.
And so that's where this came from.
Okay.
I like hearing your backstory.
They'll there. Try that's to give nice. It to Curry again this year.
Probably.
Of course they will.
What he did such a great job of just stepping yeah. back when KD came yeah. in and
it's just really selfless. He shimmied less.
Okay. Next, Jason.
Huh.
Steven Adams postgame needs to be utilized more, legitimate or preposterous.
Legitimate. I would like to see him get more touches.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll break this down. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to get real deep with it. I wish he would dunk faster after last night.
That he should have just done his little flip shot or whatever you yeah, want to call
he
it.
He could have just let it go like 3 seconds.
Hasn't he done that exact same thing before?
Him and Ibaka.
That was deja vu.
Like, I remember Ibaka did that in a really important game at some point.
Ibaka would have pump faked.
And then bit on his own pump fake.
Hell yeah, just flying through the air.
I think him getting more post touches would be really helpful. I mean, he's gotten way better. He's had some really fancy moves down there lately this year that
he
I
can
didn't
pretty much only go right, I notice. He can spin left.
But hey, Zach Randolph's
wait, I might have that backwards. Left. He can only go left. So over his left shoulder with the right hook, or he can spin right is what I meant. But what do you think, Rob? I mean,
yeah, I definitely think that they should do more with him, not only just him, but Cantor too, whenever the opportunity presents itself.
Well, Donovan spoke about it a little bit, I think it was today or after the game last night, when Cantor's been in there, because he was talking about how they're going to fill that Oladipo void. How do you make up 16, 17 points a game?
Right.
And Cantor's a big part of that, you know, because he can score. Well, Cantor's going on the court with backups.
Right.
So he's the primary scorer. And so the Hawks, they just double teamed him every single time. They just
but
won't let him
good.
Score. Sure.
He actually passed out of it successfully.
Yeah, he did
times.
Pass out of it. But at the same time, him passing out of it probably still won't score as many points as he could if he was covered with single coverage. You know what I mean?
It could, but that's something that they need to work on and, mm-hmm. and be able to use that, because with this roster, you're right. But whenever Oladipo,
sure.
Payne come back,
yeah,
that's gonna be huge.
Still, like, I still have this. I want to see it. I don't think it'll ever happen, but I just still have this little wish that they'll give it a shot to try to start Cantor alongside Adams. And take Sabonis to the bench and bring him off the bench. I just want to see it.
Bench is kind of scary, though.
You can utilize Cantor. Yeah, but Cantor's being limited by playing with that bench unit anyways.
For sure.
And, you know, his stats probably look better playing with that bench unit, but I don't think he's as effective as a player.
Yeah.
Well, he's also not playing a bunch of minutes. Cantor is
15 against the Hawks. I mean, Donovan does not trust him. He just does. His defense is bad. It's been real bad lately.
The last three, he's averaging 15.7. So
what's he averaging on the season? Even?
I don't know.
It's got to be under 20. I bet it's less than it was last year. And last year, the Thunder had a better team.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But yeah, his stats, even with that, I mean, his stats look good with that limited amount of minutes. But you're right. They're probably a little inflated because he has to score. He needs to get rebounds.
18.9 minutes per game.
Yeah, and last year he averaged 21. And these are like among the lowest of his career. The year before that, he averaged 29 minutes a game, and which he was playing for an injury-riddled Thunder team, and then 27 the year before that with the Jazz.
But why? I mean, I don't. You think this is part of just Grant? They're going with these smaller lineups, and so we're seeing Grant play the four, and you know,
I've been really impressed with Grant though.
I mean, just specifically for Cantor though, I mean, I don't know why that would be the case. Sabonis is averaging more minutes. I would guess
it's probably around the same. I would say here, I'll look it up real fast.
My guess is that Sabonis is higher.
Sabonis 21 a game, so just a little higher. But you know what? I don't think it's because of the Grant thing. I think it's because Donovan does not trust Cantor. I don't think he trusts him at all.
It's so weird though, because we need Cantor.
I agree, yeah. But you also need Cantor to play defense, a little bit of defense, and he has been so bad on that end lately. Like, he keeps showing improvement here and there, and then he takes a huge step back to who he used to be, and it bugs me so much, and it frustrates me because he can go get you 20 on offense. Ew. But he can give up 25,
right?
and then it's just like, well, you did nothing for me. I mean. So that's what bugs me, because he's so big on the boards. You need his offensive rebounding. You need the things he does. And then you get to defense, and this team already lacks rim protection. I mean, I think losing Ibaka defensively has hurt the team more than we ever thought it
would. It's weird, because I wouldn't have guessed that. Mm. I would have guessed, you know, that's a step back, but not as much as it looks.
I think there's a lot on Adam's plate defensively that he wasn't quite ready for and isn't quite ready for.
Right. It's showing, yeah.
Yeah, and it's gonna take him time. Okay. That was a good discussion. Next, Rob. Legitimate or preposterous? Kyle Singler has earned rotational minutes going forward.
Preposterous? Yeah, I don't think so.
Hater?
At all. Even in that Suns game where...
How he traveled right when he got in the game?
They looked so good.
Travel.
I mean, they looked the team as a whole. Obviously, Russ had a huge factor in that. But they looked good. But even then, it's like, ugh, Kyle's out there still. I don't know. I don't feel confident about it.
Sometimes I like the things he does because he moves without the ball. He moves with the ball. So right when he catches it, he doesn't stand and survey.
Or try to dribble.
He puts it on... No, he does, though. He puts it on the floor and he goes the direction. He seems like a guy...
That was a traveling joke.
He seems like a guy that flourishes in offenses that have a lot of flow. That there's a lot of movement offenses. The Thunder don't have this offense. Sam Presti probably should have seen that before trading for the guy. Because he struggles with this team. I'm not saying I think it's legitimate, but I was just...
But he's averaging 14 minutes a game these last three. These last three games, he's averaging
14 minutes. Did he play the whole fourth quarter against the Hawks?
He was out there for a long time.
Yeah, I feel like he came out, and that's all he played. He didn't play the rest of the game, and then he came out to start the fourth quarter.
12 minutes.
So he played the entire fourth quarter.
Yeah.
He didn't play the whole game, and then he plays the entire fourth quarter.
There's your problem.
But that goes back to what we were talking about earlier. These Donovan lineups, like...
They're getting weird.
I don't know if you could find another NBA coach right now that is doing what he's doing with lineups.
Right now.
There's no consistency.
Yeah. I mean, part of it last night, obviously, was against the Hawks.
Nobody was doing anything good.
Well, they actually were. They played. We were pretty good in the fourth quarter, though.
Thanks
I mean,
to,
guys not
to Kyle Singler.
Guys not named
It was
Russ.
Really the third quarter that
well,
was bad.
Guys not named Russ shot 8 for 12 in the fourth quarter of against the Hawks. So, I mean, it's not... I know we're saying, and it's easy to say Kyle Singler's out there. They did, you know... But it was working. I mean,
yeah,
it was fine.
I'm not a Kyle Singler hater like most people are. I mean, I will recognize that he's not good. But I don't think that... I think that he can be good at times. And I think that the team could use him at times, too. Yeah. But
especially if
he
can get back
but
to
he
that
needs to make
form.
A damn three.
Ooh.
If he can't make a three, then no. Okay, next, Jason.
Huh. Oh, God. Deep breath.
Reports say the 76ers are shopping Nerlens Noel. And given the Thunder's lack of rim protection, they should pursue a trade for him. Legitimate or preposterous?
Preposterous.
Oh, wow. Okay.
No. I don't like him.
You don't like him?
I don't like him at all.
How come?
Well, not only because I don't think he's amazing or a great player, but also his attitude problems over in Philly.
Yeah, you don't really want to bring a guy in who's screaming about minutes. Just
said, get the fuck out of here.
Cantor was doing that, though.
But this guy's coming off of injury, and then he's out, and he's not playing great, and then still saying, get this figured out, I need more minutes, basically.
To be fair, he plays for the 76ers, he's played for him for three years now?
Also, his name's Nerlens.
Oh. Which is kind of cool.
Plus Noel.
Yeah, I don't like either of them.
It's the season, man.
Right. Yeah, I'm a Grinch. Yep.
I think he's a guy that Sam Presti would actually be interested in, but I do think those attitude issues will be a red flag.
Obviously, the biggest question is, what's the cost?
Well, if he wants out bad enough, that's where like the Sixers could be in a position like, we'll just take whatever.
We'll take Samaj Christian.
I don't know.
we'll give you Samaj.
Deal. I don't think it's happening. For Samaj. I bet they would give us like Rudy Gay for him. They're really bad at front office.
I don't know.
You don't like Vladi?
No, he's kind of retarded.
All right. Twitter questions.
All right. At JLogan511. Will Payne coming back solidify our second unit's backbone? Anyone?
Yes.
I don't know.
It will.
You don't think so?
I think eventually it will. Right off the bat, I don't think so.
It's going to take a minute.
I think he's going to be rusty.
He's going to have a little rust on him.
I mean, it sounds like, there's a chance Oladipo and Cam probably at the same time are close to it. And yeah. So...
Because apparently Oladipo can't do anything with his hand right now.
Yeah, which is scary really to think about.
Disgustingly
but
sad.
I think it'll... I mean, what I saw from Cam last season, I feel confident in that he's probably gotten better, and obviously he's going to be rusty because all he's able to do is set shots right now.
Mm. They did say he was jogging.
Yogging?
Yogging.
Yogging.
With a soft J.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. That's all I got on that.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. At Cedric Gilmer, do you think that Brook Lopez would be a better fit than Enes Kanter in OKC?
I think Brook Lopez is a better player.
Yeah.
But I don't think that right now, I mean, what do you, Brook Lopez is a center even more than Enes Kanter is a center.
Uh-huh.
Enes Kanter can play power forward a little bit. I don't know.
I guess this is coming up because of what happened. You know, there was the rumor that we were going to try and get.
Yeah, yeah.
And then obviously we would be better off with Brook Lopez, but.
But also, how many broken foots would he have?
But what's the. It is fun kind of to look at that because what does the lineup look like? Is Adam starting? Are they starting both of them? What's happening there? You know, if they would have gotten Brook Lopez.
That's a good question.
You know, because that's what's interesting
there. I don't think you can start both of them. That would be weird.
It would, but you'd be gigantic. I don't think you could. Defensively, you'd be way too slow-footed. I mean, you wouldn't be able to switch things.
So are you sitting Adams in? You're bringing Adams off the bench?
Adams, I'd like as a starter more than Brook Lopez, you know, because he... I think Adams, I don't know. Brook Lopez seems like the guy, if he's on your team, he probably pisses you off a lot.
But he's also been hitting threes this year.
Yeah. He hit really good on the Thunder.
Against us.
So maybe you can stretch him. You know, he's your stretch
forward.
Yeah,
but you have to worry about defense, which he can block shots here and there, but he's not a guy that's going to keep up with your...
It's a big-ass stretch four.
It's the biggest stretch four. Brook Lopez.
Huge.
He's even got like that... Those gigantic features, those giantism.
Yeah.
Is that the right?
Gigantism?
Is that it?
I don't know. Elephantitis?
We're so misinformed.
Or
uninformed, really.
Yeah, anyways. So, he probably would have broken his foot.
Sorry to not answer your question, but...
We're not good at that. All right. At Thunder Radar, is Robertson's defense too valuable for him to be traded for a scorer?
That's a good question. It depends, though. Like, I don't think that you want to. If the Thunder's plan is to trade for a scorer, you want to do everything you can to not have him in that package. I think because doesn't Robertson become more valuable the more scoring you have on your team?
Yeah,
right.
Because you got to have that lockdown defense.
Yeah, because he can just focus on that, and his corner threes, his threes won't
won't be needed.
Right.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree.
So what's the...
I mean, I think if you have a guy that can lock down...
Legitimate.
Or semi-lock down Harden and Kawhi and people like that, like, why would
you
get
rid of that?
Dude's
been doing an incredible job this year on guys. I mean, Booker probably did the best against them that anyone's done in a while.
Yeah.
And that was more just... Speaking of Booker, he's going to be good, man.
He already is.
Yeah, he's already good, but he's like, he's probably the next Klay Thompson.
He's 19.
I didn't realize that.
He's like 19 or 20. Yeah.
Let's trade Robinson for him.
Oh, easy. Straight up.
There we go. Done.
And I remember before that draft, that's the draft we got Campaign. Mm-hmm. And I know that we talked about Booker a lot. Rob really wanted to get Booker. He was who he liked. But Booker went one... Was it one pick before?
I thought it was a couple.
Yeah. I don't remember exactly where they picked in that draft. The Suns.
We're looking it up.
Yeah, I am looking it up.
But the thing about him is that it was... I didn't realize how good of a game he was having against us until I looked at his numbers at the end. And the fact that no other Sun was having a good game was...
He was taking the pick before Payne.
Yeah.
So if they would have taken Payne, which they had 17 point guards at that time, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, which is crazy.
They love them.
Next.
Up next. At BoomOU updated, which gives OKC a bigger lift? Getting Payne and Depot back or trading away something like Payne and Cantor for a guy to help Russ?
That's a good question. It's a really good question, right?
I really like it. Yeah.
I think for sure Oladipo back is a huge lift.
And Payne.
But the follow-up question to that question is, who's in return? Who are you trading for?
Right.
Depends on who it's for.
Every single one of these trade questions is so contingent on who you could actually get. And so it's hard to answer those.
And the only thing we've really heard about the Payne thing was that we were possibly getting Gay for that, which would probably be pretty helpful.
If you're only going to use Cantor for 15 minutes a game, why not do it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, you can have Depot move to that bench unit, move Dre back to the two. If you got Rudy Gay, that would be...
Yeah, I think with Rudy Gay, that's probably what happens.
Yeah, it's just such a tough thing because, I mean, I don't want to get so into it because you can go on forever about it, but it's just like... If you get Rudy Gay, what are your long-term plans there? You know, are you looking for a half a year rental with Rudy Gay at the expense of Cameron Payne and Enes Kanter, who are a young player? Right. You know, I don't know. Whatever. Let's get into that some other pod. Trade deadline pod.
Yeah.
We'll revisit it
when there's actual rumors.
We're giving away a shirt?
Yeah. Let's give a shirt away.
Give it away.
I'll give it to old Boom OU updated. That was a good question.
All right. Congrats. Woo! Yay. He's been wanting a shirt too. So
he finally got that shirt.
It's already in the mail. I got your address.
He's lying. I haven't done any of this work yet.
Let's get to some notes.
Notes.
Okay. It's been a while since our last pod. So new CBA was finalized. You guys see that? You guys see this? Huh? Woo. You guys see this?
Yeah.
See this story?
Yeah.
No lockout. Some new provisions that could affect the Thunder. I'm just going to... I haven't read up on it. I need to like really do some research on the entire CBA, but I've read like the main things. So there's now these two-way contracts that'll pay players that like shuttle between the NBA and D-League affiliates, Josh Huestis's type guys. And so players who are on those contracts will receive more money if they go to the D-League, with the hope of keeping them from taking like overseas deals.
Right.
Which is really smart. Yeah, smart move.
Should boost the D-League a bit.
And now there's a designated veteran player exception. And I think, so you can add a 6-year for players on veteran contracts who meet a certain criteria. I'm not going to break it down because I don't know what it is. But I think you can have 2 designated veteran players on one team. Which Russell Westbrook would be that designated player for this team because that would be great. Sign him to a long-term deal. And then there's a shorter preseason. Regular season's going to start a week earlier, which means less back-to-backs, less 4 and 5, stuff like that.
That's good.
Last week when the Celtics...
I like that.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. last week when the Celtics came to town, bomb threat on their plane. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah.
I feel like Jalen. I keep going after everything I read. You guys see that? See that? But yeah, apparently they made it here safely because they played the game, and
we beat them.
That's it. Yeah.
We were the bomb.
And that's
oh.
when.
Oh shit.
Oh,
oh shit.
Did you see that?
And that's when
Kevin Eubanks over there on guitar. Yeah.
And that's the game. Oladipo went out, and the Thunder actually played pretty well that second half with Oladipo out of the game.
Yep.
Celtics haven't been as good as everyone has thought they were going to be, right?
What are you going to do?
John Legend will perform at the 2017 All-Star Game.
Okay.
It's better than whatever was there last year. Was it Sting?
It was Sting.
Why?
Still
why? Have you guys ever gone to All-Star Weekend?
No.
I heard they're like, it's awesome.
I want to go. More money to do that.
Yeah, I've looked it up before because I want to go so bad, but it's so expensive. It's so expensive.
Yeah.
Like...
Do they have
lots
like
of dollars?
Do you think they have like an all-star reward zone like the Thunder games where you can get free ticks?
No.
Nobody goes to the all-star game though, I guess. That's the whole thing.
Oh.
The biggest part is like the parties and the whole thing.
Oh, so we could just go hang out at the parties because we'll get invited.
Yeah, I want all of, we got credentials. Yeah,
we go to all the parties.
KD, Kevin Durant, his foundation donated $57,000 to Positive Tomorrows of OKC, which is a school for homeless children. I brought this up mainly because it's annoying for him to do something that would make us like him.
I'm against it.
Oh, God.
Don't like the kids.
But in all realness, it was a cool gesture. He probably did it just because someone else did it.
Oh, I see what you're
doing. I get it. He's a bandwagoner.
Yeah.
Whatever. Good job, Katie. I'll give you credit on that one. Craig Sager died.
That's one way to say it.
That's a weird way to bring that up.
I'm sorry.
It's really sad.
Yeah, but we're not going to sit here and cry. It's a sad thing. Craig Sager, cool guy. You guys met him. You guys got a picture with him.
He was really, really fucking nice to us.
Yeah.
He didn't have to be.
Did you guys see his ESPY doing the Jimmy V?
Yeah.
His acceptance speech?
Yeah.
It's like really, I don't know.
Incredible.
Man, Craig Sager's an awesome guy. It's kind of sucks
Ernie
he's not going to be there anymore.
Funeral thing?
Have not seen that yet.
Man, nope. I watched that today at work.
Was it NBA TV that they had that on?
Yeah, it was a little...
Ernie Johnson's already made me cry multiple times in my life.
I almost cried at work.
Wow. New All-Star Game. Speaking of All-Star Game, when we talked about it a second ago.
Yeah,
I remember that.
New voting procedures.
Oh, thank God.
So now the fans are only 50% of the vote. 25% players, 25% certain media.
And they've been talking about this for a little while since...
Do you like it, love it, or hate it? I love it, too.
Oh, I like that.
And I've seen people that make the point, they're like, well, if fans want to see Kobe start in the All-Star game, then he should start. And I'm like, no.
No, he shouldn't.
That's not what it's about. Like, because there's too many 12-year-olds out there voting 700 times. I don't care about...
I don't have that much time.
Those 12-year-olds.
Wow.
Do you?
What if
they go to Positive Tomorrow's? Do you care about them then? Ooh, tricky spot. Tricky spot.
Not if KD donated his money to them.
He did.
And then, all the fans who attend the Thunder's Christmas game against the Timberwolves will receive a commemorative Thunder ornament. Are you guys going?
Not going to, yeah.
Wait, I thought you had tickets.
I almost did, but I...
Didn't you offer Brandon tickets to go with you?
Yeah, I did, but I don't have them now. Yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
It was like the last pod. Yeah, he was like, hey,
no.
I probably wasn't listening.
No.
I got some really good tickets, though.
You want to take me? Tickets.
Where are you sitting at?
Row A.
Oh.
Lower level.
Damn, bro.
Wow.
Yeah.
How'd you get those?
Dropped a pretty penny on them.
Oh, wow.
Pretty penny. Yeah, I mean, it is Christmas, you know.
Timberwolves.
I want to see... Karl Anthony Towns get beat in person.
Andrew Wiggins. That'd be pretty cool.
Did you get us tickets too for our Christmas presents?
I did not. Okay, up next, tomorrow night, or today if you're listening tomorrow. Love to do that. At New Orleans, and then Friday at Boston, which Boston's going to be looking for revenge. Have the Thunder played New Orleans twice already this season, or just once? Has it been twice?
I want to just say the one time.
I think it's just once.
Just once. Thunder won, right?
Yeah. Okay. But Buddy went.
That's right.
He almost got some points.
That's right. And then Christmas, the Timberwolves. So, three games here. This is a good opportunity to explain the new system.
The game.
We got a new game, prediction game, which we need a punishment for whoever loses this. So, feel free to tweet us. We need you guys to tweet us. Some good punishment ideas, whoever loses. What are we going to have to do? We need some good ideas. So, anyways.
It'll probably be me.
We're all going to start at 10 points. We all have 10 points. However many games we're off by, that's how many points we lose, and the first one to zero loses. You'll get it as we continue.
So we have three games this week, however many we're off on our prediction.
So say Jason predicts we go 1-2, but we actually go 2-1, then Jason loses 1 point because he was one game off.
Gotcha.
So that's actually opposite of what I was going to pick. You were wrong.
Okay, well, whatever. So what's your pick, Jason?
2-1. I think we follow Boston. Not Boston.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm going to go...
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm going to go with 3-0.
Oh!
Yeah.
All right. Hey, I like it. Starting off
last
strong.
Last time I did that,
risky.
It didn't work out well
risky.
For me.
Yeah. I'm going to go 1-2.
Woo!
I think the struggles will continue, and I think it'll take him till after Christmas, because Oladipo's not coming back anytime soon, I don't think, man. He doesn't need surgery, but they've said he's not even using his wrist yet. Like, he's not even using his shooting.
Yeah, Donovan was, like, adamant that he's not playing against New Orleans, so...
All right, well, follow us on Twitter, at OKC Thunderheads. Subscribe on iTunes. Hey, thanks for listening, and do what Russell Westbrook would do. Don't get too high, don't get too low. Thunder up.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.